when lies shovel exposed, secrets uncovered, plots and plans unraveled, and the truth laid bare for all to see. But for now, let us join Ralph Nickleby and his friend Wackford Squeers as they plot the downfall of Nicholas.
Mr. Nickleby, this here matter puts me out of my way. And what with all the risk of the business...
How often have I told you, and how often am I to tell you, that you run no risk? All you've been asked to do is swear that a boy was left with you in the name of Smike, that he was lost and is now found and has been identified by you. This is all true, is it not?
Yes, that is all true.
Well then, what risk do you run? Who swears to a lie but Snorley? In any case, the certificates are all genuine. Snorley had another son. He has been married twice. His first wife is dead. None but her ghost could tell she didn't write that letter. And none but Snorley could tell that Smike is not his son. So what is your risk in the conspiracy?
Ooh, don't call it that. Just as a favour, don't.
And do not forget, Mr. Squeers, this tale was originally fabricated as a means to injure Nicholas, the man who hurt your trade and half-cudgeled you to death. Is that not so, Mr. Squeers?
Why, sir, in a measure it was, but it wasn't all on my account. You too had some old grudge to satisfy, did you not?
Of course, if I had not, do you think I would have helped you?
Why, no, I don't suppose you would. So it is all square between us.
Good. For I have another plan. This same enemy of ours, Nicholas, has thwarted the marriage of a certain young lady that would have brought happiness to an old friend and various rewards, shall we say, to myself.
The brute!
Indeed. He has borne her away and no doubt plans to marry her himself.
The devil!
Indeed.
Is there no end to his meddling?
It would seem not. And before he interferes any further, there are certain papers which I need to lay my hands upon.
Papers, Mr. Nickleby?
Papers which reveal this young lady to be heir entitled to various monies and property, which, if their existence became known, would make her husband a rich and prosperous man and a most formidable enemy.
The devilish brute.
Quite. Now, these self-same papers have been stolen from someone who held them fraudulently and who, therefore, fears to take steps for their recovery, even though the thief is known to him and to myself.
Not the brutish devil Nicholas.
No, no, no. An old, deaf, decrepit hag called Peg Sliderskew. Now, we need someone to befriend her, to worm their way into her confidence, and to obtain possession of the deed.
Well, who could do that?
You, Mr. Squeers... You.
Oh, no, I don't think I can.
I shall pay you £50.
£50?
Yes, £50. If you bring them here and let me burn them to ashes.
Only £50.
All right, 75.
75.
Call it 100.
Could you not, sir?
100. That is my last offer.
If that's your last offer, then I shall accept it. As a favour to a friend.
Oh, too kind, Mr. Squeers, too kind. I shall get in touch with you when I have hunted the old hag down.
How long will that take?
Not long, not long. Good day to you.
Good day.
Now, let me defeat Nicholas Nickleby in this, and it shall be the first link in a chain which I will wind about him. Round and round his neck.
Ralph Nickleby is true to his word. He locates the missing Mrs. Sliderskew within a day or two, and soon afterwards Mr. Squeers is dispatched to an upper room of a mean house in a muddy, dirty, and deserted street. Here he watches and waits.
Here I sit, day in, day out, pouring up this here blessed old dowager, and do the boy's all and running itself right to seed all the while.
Mr. Squeers lights a candle and reaches for a crumpled letter sent by Mrs. Squeers.
The pigs is well. The cows is well. And the boys is bobbish. Pitcher took another fever and died. How like him! Dying at the end of his quarter! The smallest palmer said... he wished he was in heaven. He's always a-wishing something, Orrid. Last time he wished he was a donkey, so he wouldn't have a father as didn't love him. Pretty wishless that for a child of six.
It's a long time to have been a-lingering in London.
Still, £100, he's five boys, and five boys takes a whole year to pay £100. I'm sure Mrs. Squeers will keep them in order while I'm away. Still, there'll be an arrear of flogging that'll have to be gone through.
Weary at the thought of this extra work, Mr. Squeers finishes what's in his bottle, takes a new one off the shelf, blows out his candle, and makes his way to a door opposite his own.
Good evening, my Slider.
Is that you?
It's me. I've come according to promise. Do you see this? This is a bottle. And do you see this? This is a glass. I fill the glass from the bottle. And I say, your health, Slider. Now, your turn.
Your health.
Well, she understands that anyways. Now then, I am a sort of lawyer, Slider. I'm the intimate friend and confidential adviser of pretty nigh every man, woman and child who gets into difficulties through being too nimble with their fingers. What? What?
So, my master wasn't married after all, wasn't he? Not married after all.
No, that he wasn't.
And a young lover come and carried off the bride, eh?
From under his very nose.
Tell me about it again. Let's hear it all again. Beginning at the beginning. Now, as if you'd never told me.
Such was her malicious relish of her old master's defeat that Squeers begins his story again, with various improvements on the truth as they occur to him. Peg listens in an ecstasy of delight.
Your old master sobbed and cried, begged and pleaded, but the young gentleman kicked him aside with his boots.
Good. It's what he deserves. He's a treacherous old goat. He lied to me about his will and all that he'd leave me. And I believed him too. More fool me. But never mind. I'm even with him now.
More than even, Slider. You're a long way ahead. Out of sight, Slider. Quite out of sight. And that reminds me. If you want me to have a look at those deeds, tell you what to burn and what to keep, why, now's your time, Slider.
Oh, there ain't no hurry for that.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't keep papers as might hang me littering about, especially when they might be turned into money. But you're the best judge of your own affairs.
Come, you shall see the papers.
I don't want to see them. Don't talk as if it was a treat. Show them to somebody else and take their advice.
No, I shall show them to you.
You shan't, because I don't want to look at them.
Oh, you've been so good to me. So kind. I didn't mean to make you angry. But I want to show them to you.
Very well. Very well. Let's see what you've got.
Oh, you devil.
Now, the papers. Peg, the papers. Stop that.
Peg trots off and returns with a small box which she opens and presents to Mr. Squeers.
There. There.
Now, what's of no use, we'll burn. What we can get any money by, we'll keep.
And what we can get Arthur Gride into trouble by, and fret and waste away his heart to shreds, those we'll take particular care of. But that's what I want to do.
That's what you want to do? Why didn't you take some money besides?
Some what?
Some money! I do believe the woman hears me and wants me to break a wessel so she may have the pleasure of nursing me. Some money, Slider, some money.
Why, if I'd taken money, he would have scoured the whole earth to find me. No, I know better than that. I took his box of secrets. Them he couldn't afford to make public. That's why they were hid away. He's an old dog, a sly, old, cunning dog. First he starved me, then he tricked me, and if I could, I'd kill him.
All right, and very laudable. Now, first and foremost, burn the box, in case it might be recognised. And while you do that, I'll look over the papers and tell you what they are. Now, let me see.
If the old woman was not so deaf, she would hear, when she passes the door, the breathing of two persons standing close behind. These persons remain quite still, and then, as she returns to the fire, they warily, and with noiseless steps, advance into the room.
What's that one?
It's only an old lease. Throw it in the fire.
As Mrs. Sliderskew complies, the two figures steal further and further into the room.
These are just old bills. Throw them into the fire.
The figures inch closer again. As they come into the dim light of the flickering candle, we see that one is Frank Cheeryble and the other Newman Knox. Newman Knox takes up a pair of bellows and lifts his arm, preparing a swift descent onto the head of Mr. Squeers, but Frank stays his arm.
Old bills, burn them.
Knox once more lifts his arm, but Frank once more stays it. They take another step so that they are directly behind the old schoolmaster and can read for themselves the papers he holds up.
Bonds, take care of them. Lease, burn that. Madeline Bray. Come of age or marry. Burn that.
Squeers throws a different parchment to Peg while swiftly pocketing the correct one.
I've got it! At last! I thought I'd never wrestle it away from the old hag's fat, greasy hands. But I've got myself £100! Hard earned and all!
What?
Ha
ha ha!
No answer is returned, for Newman's arm can be restrained no longer, and the bellows descend heavily on the very centre of Mr. Squeer's head. And we shall leave him there, felled to the floor, flat and senseless.